we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Welcome to America Out Loud Pulse. Oh, a wonderful, wonderful audience. You know, you're the rock. You're the rock of America. You're the rock of our hearts. We are so glad you're out there and we have ways to talk with you and communicate with you. America Out Loud Pulse is a five-day-a-week show. We have one day, Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and amazing doctors and other people, nurses, all kinds of folks, have the other days to present you with somewhat medically oriented, but as today, not necessarily at all medically oriented.
Oh, I disagree.
You're going to disagree with me?
Absolutely, instantly, yes.
So how are we medical?
We're medical because the weather affects everything.
Oh, right. We're like the World Health Organization.
That's right.
And everything is medical because everything that happens affects medicine and the
person's body. And affects human beings and their bodies. And in fact, this is one of the major concerns of the World Health Organization. So this is very appropriate to have our guest here.
Okay. I give up. I hand over the show to Ginger Breggin.
Thank you.
Now you got to introduce our person.
Yes, thank you. I'm being prompted. Our guest today is Dane Wigington of geoengineeringwatch.org, and he is one of the most knowledgeable experts about geoengineering, which is the human manipulation of weather. I know very little about this. I've seen some of his fabulous new movie, but I'm excited to hear a lot from Dane today to share with our audience about how our weather is being manipulated, how it's affecting all of us. Hi, Dane.
Hi, Ginger. Peter, thank you very much for your voices, adding your voices to this most critical battle to expose the climate engineering, aka weather warfare operations that are going on in skies all over the globe without public knowledge or consent.
Tell us to begin with your movies and how to get you. I want to be sure we don't lose that.
Our website is geoengineeringwatch.org. GEO, the word engineering, then watch.org. We're the largest and most visited website in the world on the subject of geoengineering. We are non-political, no commercials. Our groundbreaking documentary on climate engineering is titled The Dimming, and it is available to view for free on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. We spent an extraordinary amount of money on that for us, way into six figures, and extraordinary effort by many people. We posted it to view for free the moment it was done. Our only goal is to alert the public to what's going on in our skies.
How do you finance yourself, may I ask?
Certainly, for many years, I was retired. I had a large SEP account, retirement account. I spent all that. I've sold off about 1,200 acres so far. And we have some that are helping us with certain things now, which is very appreciated because we're mailing materials all over the globe, printed materials, and we have radio stations. We have 16 radio stations around the country that air our weekly commercial-free update, and that title of that update is called Global Alert News. It's the most news you can fit in an hour, no commercial breaks, no advertising whatsoever, no politics. And that's available for free on the homepage of our website too. So if you're not near a station that airs this, certainly it's available for free. But I know that the trajectory we were on, Peter, I wouldn't.
No, I wasn't going anywhere with it.
Mean that. No, your question was very appropriate. I phrased my end wrong. So I apologize to you. What I meant was the trajectory we were on as a species. That's what I was referring to, that I would not need that retirement account and nor the land holdings I had, because I feel our paradigm is so close to going upside down. Does that make sense? So your question is very appropriate.
And, we live with this all the time. We live with this kind of weighing of things all the time.
Yeah,
especially now that we're older.
People just don't realize the gravity and immediacy of what's unfolding. And based on all science data and current trajectories, it was clear to me that I would not need that retirement account and would soon be of no use to me. And I wanted to put it to use while I could. And the same with some land holdings I had. So I've poured everything into this, and I will continue to do so. And I'm very grateful again to both of you for your adding your voices to this most critical battle.
Thanks, Dane. I would love for you to tell your audience how you got involved in this. It's not your normal career.
This is the last thing I ever wanted to do or imagined doing for the last 20 years of my life. I grew up in smoggy Southern California. I literally, my entire adult life was striving to get out of that. And when I was able to finally move to Northwest, Northern California, on the east side of Lake Shasta, in the middle of the wilderness, I built a large off-grid home, solar, wind, and hydro. I have a background in the electrical industry with Bechtel Power. That's the largest engineering firm in the world. Not an honest company, I'll say. I left at an early age because of what I saw. But that's my background. And my home was on the cover of the world's largest renewable energy magazine. I had no sooner moved in, and I was losing massive amounts of solar power uptake from whatever these aircraft were leaving behind in the sky. I knew that could not be just condensation. And I began to research and was shocked at the amount of data on the climate engineering issue that I had never seen or heard of before. I looked for the primary elements named in climate engineering patents, starting with aluminum. I tested my precipitation. The rain samples I got processed at the state lab contained massive amounts of aluminum in them. And it changed my entire life. I knew if I found that, I would not be able to look the other way. It's not my character. I cannot look the other way. And I've been engaged in this battle ever since.
We really understand that. Dane, let me clarify something. As I understand it from what I read earlier of your work, the way you became aware was you had a solar system for your home, which was providing you with all your energy. And you have meters that tell you how much energy you're absorbing through your solar mechanical systems. And what you started seeing was a great drop off in the amount of energy being absorbed through the solar system. Is that right?
Correct. It never performed from day one. I mean, from what the design capacity was supposed to be. As soon as the house was complete and I moved in, I was seeing loss of solar power on some days of 60-70%. Now, we know that the aircraft can cover the entire horizon with what they emit. And we have time-lapse footage to prove that. Anyone who's observant can see that. So with solar power, you have to have direct unobstructed sunlight. So when I lose 70 or 80% of my solar power, that doesn't mean it's 70 or 80% darker. It means that 70 or 80% of the sun's direct light is blocked. Now, it's not just my system that this is being experienced with. You have massive solar commercial plants that are producing about half what their design output was supposed to be. So it's not just me, and it's not just solar. We have hydropower also. In fact, climate engineering radically diminishes all three primary forms of alternative energy: solar, wind, and hydro. Blocks the sun, diminishing solar power, diminishes convection because you're covering the horizon with these light scattering particles. So you radically affect convection, which reduces wind. So now we have what's called wind droughts in many places of the globe. So the turbines aren't spinning, and you radically reduce overall global precipitation. And that is really key. The climate engineers can shut off the flow of rain anywhere they want for as long as they want. And we can speculate about their motives and agendas. But if we look, for example, at the Western U.S., presentations we did at Geoengineering Watch going back a decade and a half specifically stated that what is happening today would happen. It had to happen. It couldn't not happen if they continue with these programs, because we can see it on satellite imagery. We can see them completely derailing the storm track before any moisture comes into California. And they push that moisture up and around us into Alaska often. And so there's no speculation in this equation. They are disrupting the rain to the west and to parts of Western Europe, all over Africa. It's been happening for decades. This can only be considered weather warfare. We can speculate on the agendas and objectives, but the fact that this is going on and this is a core causal factor beyond debate.
Wow. I'm just going to sit here and listen.
This
is all new to me.
Let's relate some of this to people who are having experiences. For instance, although I don't live in California, I have been interested and have followed to a small degree how much the droughts are affecting the farming up in the middle and northern sections, as well as just in general, the California well-being has been severely curtailed because of the droughts. And it sounds to me as though what you're saying is these droughts are man-made.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And let me qualify that. I'm in no way denying the damage the human race has done to the planet. We have been very, very poor stewards of the planet. And that is certainly something that must be addressed. But the most destructive of all, this is saying a lot, is the intentional intervention in the climate system. So in the case of the droughts, the laws of physics make clear that on a warming planet, a rapidly warming planet, and our frontline data would indicate we are past 3.5 degrees C right now, not the 1.5 degree that we're being told. We see temperatures falsified to the downside in every arena that we take measurements. So it appears that the planet is far more advanced into warming scenario than we're being told. It's far worse than we're being told. So the laws of physics make clear that for every degree C of warming, the atmosphere holds 7% more moisture. At 3.5 degrees C, we should have much, much more overall rainfall. And yes, we have deluge in many regions, but the drought deluge scenario, that imbalance, is a hallmark of climate engineering operations. So in order to have less overall rain on the planet, which is the case that we are faced with, we have to have a factor that we're not being told about, and that factor is climate engineering. So by blocking direct sunlight, that radically disrupts the evaporative cycle. Back to the wind that I mentioned earlier, when you reduce overall wind on the planet, which is exactly what climate engineering is doing, you're also radically reducing the evaporative cycle. When you use polymer fibers, which is part of the climate engineering mix, as they're spraying over oceans, when you coat the sea surface with polymer fibers, that further reduces evaporation. One of the goals of the climate engineers may be to reduce atmospheric relative humidity, because water vapor is considered a greenhouse gas. But what are the consequences of doing that? You lose natural cloud cover in exchange for toxic chemical cloud cover, which is contaminating virtually everything on the planet, soils, waters, every breath we take. It's destroying the ozone layer. These particles are an incendiary. You know, aluminum nanoparticles are an incendiary dust that we have settling on forest foliage, forest floors. So it's directly related to the forest fire scenario when they're cutting off the rain, toxifying soils, which is killing the trees from the bottom up. It's not just the beetles. Beetles are a symptom. So when we add all this together, climate engineering is core to the fires as well. And that's reducing the planet's ability to make rain, because you don't have just forests where it rains. You have rain where there's forests. And people don't realize that. The forests are a large factor where rain falls. So from every conceivable direction, climate engineering is ripping apart the planet's life support systems.
Wow. What department is it? The DOD that is mostly spending the money, or is it and doing the research, or is it part of the several trillion dollars that nobody can find?
Great question, Peter. That's a great question. It is, and it's not just several trillion. It's about 30 plus trillion since the late 90s that they can't find. And where did they get that money to begin with to lose anyway, and on top of their other money? All roads lead back to the central bankers who print whatever they want for whatever they want. So it goes into DARPA, the defense industry as a whole. And yes, you're correct. the DOD, Department of Defense, would be the single largest spoke in this wheel, if you will. And we have many other agencies involved. We have Senate documents posted at geoengineeringwatch.org, as long as 800 pages, that outline full global cooperation, even between otherwise adversarial countries, i.e. China, Russia, U.S. They cooperate on climate engineering because you can't just geoengineer over your own country. They all have their own reasons for doing so, but there's definitely global cooperation, and you are correct. Globally, the DOD, U.S. DOD, is the largest single player. We have a military that's bigger than the next 10 militaries combined. We have a tanker fleet, an atmospheric aerial tanker fleet, that's three times bigger than all other militaries combined. Yes, the U.S. DOD is the biggest player in this game of total insanity in our skies.
Is it actually coming from the trails that everybody worries about, or are they dumping it out from the tankers in some other way, from the chemtrails?
These are sprayed particulate dispersions. We do believe there are some fuel additives that we have as a part of this mix as well, but the vast majority of the materials being dispersed are sprayed dispersions. We're not guessing on that either. We have atmospheric film footage of these aircraft nozzles visible, turning dispersions on and off. So again, no speculation in this equation. A U.S. KC-135 tanker can carry 100 tons in one payload. That's staggering. So the amount of nanoparticles we're all breathing is of grave, grave concern. And we believe globally, we've extrapolated from rain tests, working with a major science institution, there may be as much as 60 to 70 million tons being sprayed into our skies annually.
So human beings are absorbing this. Is there any examination yet as to what kind of a toxic load from this source human beings are carrying?
Every subject we have tested, hair, blood, urine, individuals are packed with aluminum. And we all know how toxic that is. Aluminum is a neurotoxin. We see Alzheimer's, dementia, ALS, everything we would expect going off the charts. Some people are more resilient than others. Some systems are better at purging these metals out than others. But there's no question, there is no escape from this. It is affecting not only all of us, but virtually the entire web of life. Aluminum is toxic to all life forms, period. And it's raining down on us in bioavailable form, nanoparticles, saturating everything.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
You're good.
Is it used in different portions of the planet at different rates? So if, let's say, South Africa, let's say if hair and other tests were done on the population in South Africa or other countries that are very distant from ours, would there be smaller amounts, greater amounts of these substances? I understand that weather is a global issue, but I'm wondering if the same degree of if the weather manipulation is being concentrated on some of the countries that have also been targeted, for instance, by the COVID mandates.
It's a complex question. We see concentrated climate engineering operations where weather systems form or converge. For example, the Pacific Northwest, the moisture comes across us, so we see exceptionally heavy spraying here. You would have less spraying in some place like Saharan Africa, where there's not much moisture for the climate engineers to work with. But that being said, the spraying is ubiquitous. And if we were to connect this with, it's a very important subject. I'm not sure if we have enough time, but I can just make mention of it now. We could follow up.
Oh, yeah. We've got just another few seconds. Go ahead.
We have the world's second most recognized climate engineer, Dr. Ken Caldera, stating on the record, we have the audio, that what he did for the Department of Defense was design ways of spraying pathogens into clouds to infect the populations below.
Wow. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is fascinating.
Yes.
Cold and flu season is here. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne viral threats? Well, now there is, and it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray called Cofix RX. You might even say it's just what the doctor ordered. To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving. To limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix RX is just like that. It's an additional layer of protection. It's sold by thousands of pharmacists and medical doctors nationwide. It's made right here in the USA. Again, it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray. You've heard them talk about it here on the Out Loud Network over and over again. Check out CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com for a retailer near you, or use coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
We're back. We're back with our guest, Dane Wigington. And Peter and I are learning a great deal about climate manipulation. Dane, thank you. Let's continue. Perhaps you could explain the different types of manipulation that can be done with climate, sort of an overview.
The climate engineers literally control the spigot. So they decide how much it rains, where it will rain, how toxic that rain will be. They can also determine the temperatures on the surface if they have enough moisture to work with by patented processes of what's called chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. So, Peter and Ginger, you've seen more of late, especially, you see a ski slope that there's snow on the slope, but there's no snow anywhere else in the mountain, right? They're making snow and putting it on the slope. There's some of those same constituents and other more toxic constituents being used in the aerosol operations, spraying into cloud moisture. It creates what's called an endothermic reaction, an energy absorbing reaction. So it chemically creates a very cold layer of air that descends to the surface. Let me give an example. You know, you can have a first aid kit sitting on a shelf for 20 years, and if you mix that cold pack together, you have ice instantly because of that chemical reaction. So it's the same thing on a scale that's almost inconceivable. So what we see is literally engineered winter events. Chinese scientists openly announced they were doing this. In fact, in 2009, they engineered a snowstorm over Beijing. And that is literally turning a storm that should have been rain into heavy, wet, concrete-like, chemically nucleated, frozen material. So they did $2 billion worth of damage to Beijing on the second or third time they did this. And of course, the citizens were starting to react very negatively, and they stop talking about it or announcing it. But in that particular event, your listeners can look this up. If they search Chinese scientists create artificial snowstorm, Popular Science covered it. MSNBC, Fox News, all mainstream media covered it. And yet now, if you bring this subject up in the US, you're accused of being a conspiracy theorist, a tinfoil hat wearing nutcase. And you know, this is the absurdness of the so-called science community right now. We have the entire global science community discussing exactly what we see in our skies with exactly the same expected negative results. It's been going on since immediately after World War II at ever larger scale. They've ramped it up all the way along. And yet we have the so-called climate science community pretending that this isn't actually happening, that they could, may, might do it someday. but that we're not seeing what we're actually seeing. And so we live in quite an Orwellian world at this point. Yeah. But the ramifications of climate engineering are so grave and so immediate that statistically, mathematically, if it's allowed to continue, we won't be here much longer. And that's not just my opinion. It's destroying the ozone layer. It's having the other negative effects I mentioned of ubiquitous planetary contamination, disrupting the hydrological cycle. If we take one aspect of this, the ozone collapse alone, and it is the biggest factor. Climate engineering is the single biggest factor destroying ozone by far. Hairspray cans, yes, it's a problem. CFCs are not good, but logic and reason should kick in. What's going to do more to damage the planet, a hairspray can or fleets of tankers dumping 100 tons at a time into the atmosphere? Obviously, that's the bigger factor. We face functional ozone layer collapse if the current rate of destruction continues by perhaps mid-decade, this decade. No more food growth at that point. And we're already seeing massive, massive effects from excessive UV radiation on the ground. It's killing crops. It's killing bugs. It's killing plankton.
Wow. You know, this this is so much what we see going on with the fake narrative about COVID. I mean, if folks are having, drastic doubt that nothing like this could possibly happen in a scientific community, it has completely happened with COVID-19. Totally.
It has. I completely agree. I had about an hour long conversation this morning with Dr. Judy Mikovits.
Oh, did you? She's a friend of ours.
Good. I thought you might know Judy, and what a courageous gal, as you guys are too. Again, I'm very honored to connect and communicate with you.
Well, you're blowing my mind.
I hope it's I just hope it's clear, Peter, that I'm not shooting from the hip. I can back up everything.
Well,
we
yes,
state.
It sounds like you can, and I'll be learning more and more about it. What, by the way, was the date for searching for the Chinese creating the snowstorms in Peking?
It was actually Beijing, and it was 2009. Beijing. If you search Chinese scientists create artificial snowstorm, you'll find those. And if you have any trouble at all, let me know. I'll send the links. You can also search the engineering winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org, and you can find other things there, like patents, like one's called the Nolenberg patent that about chemical ice nucleation that makes clear they can nucleate into ice at temperatures pushing 50 degrees. So thus we see snowstorms now that start at temperatures at 40 degrees. Now this material, this chemically nucleated material, is extremely cold to the touch. So the temperatures on the surface do begin to drop. The longer this process takes place, the more they drop. But let me give you some extreme examples of chemical ice nucleation. We just saw Buffalo, New York get hit. So what happened, and we did a video report on this, the moisture from Hurricane Nicole, which was also steered, and we recorded that steering. They steer it with radio frequency microwave transmissions, and we recorded the transmissions interacting with the storm and steering it. If you see the video, you'll be shocked. That moisture was pushed all the way into Canada and chemically nucleated, started to cool a surface layer there. That surface layer of air was then pushed south. Atmospheric pressure zones can and are being manipulated, and it picked up moisture across the Great Lakes, which was chemically nucleated and dumped on places like Buffalo. Now, we have much more extreme examples of this. We have, do you guys, Ginger and Peter, remember? Did we lose Ginger, or is she still with us?
Ginger had to attend to another.
Okay. We have you still with us.
Oh, Peter, I'm right here. And Ginger's here in spirit. She's so excited about having you on today. Go ahead.
Well, I'm grateful for you guys. Peter, do you happen to remember in 2014, 100,000 cattle died in a flash snowstorm in South Dakota? Does that ring any bells?
Yeah, maybe so.
So let's look at that event. We had October 4th, 2013. Snow that started falling at 40 degrees in South Dakota. And we had that flash storm kill 100,000 cattle. And we recorded the weather maps at the same time. So when it was snowing in South Dakota, it was 89 degrees and raining in Kansas City. It was 85 degrees and raining in Chicago. How in the world can you possibly have a snowstorm kill 100,000 cattle in South Dakota that 2 days later were sitting around in the mud with no snow left, with all these cattle dead? And this artificially nucleated materials is again, very cold to the touch. It tends to adhere to their hides, to their noses, snouts. If a cow can't breathe through his nose, they will suffocate, and they did. We've had the same thing happen in South America. 250,000 alpacas killed in a single nucleated winter event. Alpacas are very cold hardy. And we're testing this material. So we know that there's climate engineering elements in the snow. Aluminum, barium, strontium, barium, surfactants is also in the snow. These are all named in climate engineering patents. And one more very extreme example, Amarillo, Texas, May 1st, 2013. I know this data inside out. 100 degrees on the ground, all-time record high, 100 degrees. It snowed the next day. Imagine going from 100 degrees to snow in one day. That's not nature.
Mm. No, not nature at all. What's the nearest thing to a paper trail on these activities? I mean, the funding of them, the nature of the projects, is it all pretty much completely out of sight?
In recent data, of course, they're doing everything they can to hide these programs for obvious reasons. The liability issue is incalculable. But if we go back even further, for example, the beginning of every one of our weekly Global Alert News broadcasts shows a very short clip of President Lyndon Johnson in 1962 on film, on the record, raving like a maniac, stating that we had the power to control the world's cloud layer then, and quote, "He who controls the weather controls the world." That's a direct quote. So if we examine that, he who controls the weather controls the rain, thus controls the food supply, thus controls the populations, thus controls the world. We have other events. Immediately after 9/11, General Wesley Clark was given a list of Middle Eastern countries that were to be targeted. Oil-rich countries, no coincidence, but every single one of those countries subsequently endured a once-in-1,000-year drought. It destabilized their food production, destabilized their populations, thus destabilized the governments. It's statistically, mathematically impossible that every one of those countries would endure the same conditions unless there was a factor we're not being told. That factor is climate engineering. And in fact, we have the leaders of some of those countries, in the case of Iran, on the floor of the United Nations stating on the record, NATO was cutting off their precipitation, weather warfare.
Do we have any evidence for this going on right now in the Ukraine and Russia? Sounds like a perfect thing the globalists, if they're the ones behind a lot of this, would do to the Russians right now.
They do, and they are involved, of course, and you're completely correct about that. Again, the paradox here is this, that there is no question that all major countries are participating, colluding, cooperating in climate engineering, including China and Russia, regardless of their otherwise adversarial relations. So we have,
by the way, that's exactly the same truth for COVID-19. So we begin to accept that the globalists are globalists and they do collaborate. Doesn't mean that one or another group isn't eventually going to want to try to have the empire of the world. But right now they're collaborating.
We are on completely the same page. And that is exactly true. And COVID and climate engineering, there is absolutely inarguable global cooperation between the major powers. It cannot be otherwise. The narrative on COVID was the same with all of them, and the same with climate engineering. So yes, you're completely correct. And I agree with you also, Peter, that like mafia families that cooperate, at some point there may be infighting. And I would agree with you completely on that as well.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there's infighting already. But that gets over into my interests and to what's in our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators. But let me just go back and having just given a one little nudge to the book. go back and I interrupted you somewhere because it just struck me again the global confirmation or the confirmation of globalism that we're getting from what you're talking about.
Well, I actually have a couple of questions because one of the things that occurs to me is to identify some examples of when this has been done. We talked about the droughts in California. I read about the large hurricane recently that ended up hitting the Tampa area, that it was heading north and it took a hard right turn, at a 90-degree angle, I believe, and ended up hitting the Tampa area in Florida. Was that related to weather manipulation?
Certainly. They leave nothing untouched. Hurricane manipulation operations started by the U.S. military in 1947 with Project Sirius. How far have they come in 75 years? And back to the, if I could add one more point on the global cooperation, this is key. Those in power know the planet can no longer support the weight of the human race. That's a statistical mathematical fact. It's not a matter of elbow space, because we hear that from people a lot. Well, there's enough space for everybody to fit in Texas. It's not about elbow room. It's about resources. We have fisheries collapsing, crops collapsing. We have the ozone layer collapsing. So those in power, now weaving this back into COVID and connecting COVID and climate engineering, they know that, or their goal, I should say, is culling, thinning the herd. There's no question about that.
Wow. So
it fits what we think. Because statistically, mathematically, we have solid figures. Insect populations down 85 to 90%. That's a virtual crash of global terrestrial insects. Plankton population, we just got peer reviewed study in the Atlantic, 90% crash. No plankton, no people. Ozone layer disintegrating. Climate engineering operations is the single biggest factor. So the food production in California, you can almost not grow anything now unless it's shaded. It's that bad here. Not to mention the soils are sterile, all but sterile at this point, and we have no water. We can see them cutting off our water. So I would argue biosphere collapse happened faster than they expected in their hubris. They thought they could engineer the climate for a longer period without consequence. They're wrong. And now they have, in spite of, for many years, we would argue, of perhaps introducing pathogens even aerially and thus producing need for the annual vaccinations and things that were degrading the population's health. It did not happen fast enough. The human body proved more resilient than they were prepared for. Biosphere collapsed happened faster than they were prepared for. Thus, they went into warp speed with the whole CV-19 scenario. And here we are. And our point with climate engineering is that with these aerial dispersion platforms, they can, at any point of their choosing, if they feel they're losing control, they can disperse something much, much more dangerous, and they can level the playing field overnight, literally. And we know that of the constituents raining down on us, two of those, polymer fibers and graphene, showed up in almost all of the last 100 lab tests we did. Those can be used for biological carrier platforms to carry a pathogen from the clouds to the ground.
So you're saying that in addition to the isn't it graphene that's one of the components of the vaccines?
Yes.
And in addition to that component that's in the vaccines, it's now being seeded into the human population and I guess everything else that inhales it or has it on their skin, perhaps through the weather seeding.
It was in almost all of 100 precipitation tests that were processed at one of the most world-renowned labs in existence. So there's no question it's there. And what's important for people to understand about graphene, it is used for so many purposes. We found the science studies advocating for graphene as an artificial ice nucleating element as well, in addition to a biological platform carrier. Graphene has served so many purposes in the science community, and it's useful to them because they don't consider the consequences of using these elements. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It does.
We need to take a break.
Now, spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
We're back with Dane Wigington, and Dane is filling us in on geoengineering, the manipulation of weather, which has been going on for decades and decades, and we're going to continue with him. So Dane, you were talking about some of the components that are being dropped intentionally during weather manipulation, and one of them is the graphene, which also is contained in the COVID vaccines. How long has graphene been being found that you know of in regards to the weather manipulation? Is it longer than people have been receiving these vaccines?
We only began to test for graphene oxide about 8 months ago. So we don't know prior to that.
Wow.
And again, I want to stress to your listeners that graphene is used for so many purposes. There's so many agendas and objectives that the climate science uses that element for. And it's extremely toxic. Graphene oxide in the vascular system is like a vascular machete. In addition to the biological elements that it can be used for. And why wouldn't we think that our government would carry out biological experiments? According to the Washington Post, even as of 1977, there had already been, as a matter of record, 239 open-air biological tests conducted by the U.S. military on U.S. unknowing civilians without their knowledge or consent. 239, that's just what we know of. How many have happened since? And this is business as usual. And again, we have a population that still wants to pretend that those in power are somehow here to protect them and their posterity so that they can continue consuming until there's nothing left. And of course, that's not what the globalist agenda is it? So people need to wake up and understand that populations aren't just expendable to those in power, especially the U.S. population, not just expendable, but a rapidly increasing liability, because the U.S. population, many of them are armed and not so easy to subdue as in other nations. So again, the U.S. population, absolutely a liability to those in power at this point.
Well, and we also are per person the greatest consumers by far of resources. So again, we're in their way.
That is a great point. And yes, we're 5% of the world's population and we consume 25% of the world's resources. So that's another really, really good point that would back up what I said completely, Peter. Thank you for bringing that up.
We are the enemy, folks. We got to build ourselves up to be a powerhouse of freedom. And along the way, we can decide how much. But you're non-political, so maybe I should not talk too much about that. How do you feel about that, Dane?
Well, I simply see, based on data, that no occupant of the White House, from our perspective, has drawn a line in the sand with those in power since JFK. Everyone since has maybe at best been a bit of a loose cannon for them. But anybody that tries to do what John F. Kennedy did would not be here any longer. And so we see in one form or another, whether no matter how different the media tries to paint these White House sock puppets, we all see them ultimately providing mass distraction, mass polarization.
Yeah.
And that certainly serves the power structure. The more polarized the population is, the more focused they are on politics, and the less they see the oncoming train of planetary life support system collapse. And that collapse is happening. I mean, you can shut down all forms of human activity right now, and we are going to hit the wall. But climate engineering itself, I would argue, is the crown jewel weapon of the controllers. It's the weapon with which they can bring populations to their knees without those populations ever even knowing they were under assault.
Wow. Has Israel used climate control very intensively, I would expect, to build the forests and the agriculture? Because they created this green land out of a desert, and it was always said they planted trees and that changed things, but is there a lot of climate control there?
You know, geoengineering operations are happening over Israel. We hear from people from Israel frequently. So there's no area truly exempt. In fact, for the countries that are not participating, one that we can say definitively, again, not participating is Iran. So whatever we may like or not like about their country or culture, they are certainly against climate engineering. We believe from contacts in Mexico that Mexico tried to push back at one point against these operations, and that was right prior to the whole swine flu outbreak there in Mexico.
Oh.
So was that a shot across their bow? Because afterward, they went right along with these programs. We were working with scientists in South America that were metering the disintegrating ozone layer, and they were quite fearful about passing data on to us, and we have all contact with them has been severed. We've heard nothing. We don't know about their welfare at this point.
You know, I've heard just on the news just in the last day or so that we have a massive die-off of poultry as well as wild birds in the United States. And I mean, I follow this kind of thing and I hadn't heard that, but it was like a historical largest loss of the various poultries and wild birds from another form of flu, from an avian flu.
You're correct. And this one,
go ahead.
This particular strain appears more lethal than previous strains as well. And we know we have 400 biolabs all over the world working on things like this. Why would we look anywhere else but those labs?
Why would we be surprised? Yes.
And it is happening. And that's one more way of culling the food supply. We have oceans are warming at blinding speed. In fact, ocean temperatures in some regions are warming so rapidly, it's deoxygenating the oceans. We have temperatures have recently been recorded in part of the Arctic Ocean, 25 degrees above normal. 25. I mean, it's inconceivable. To put this into context, a cubic meter of seawater can contain 4,000 times the thermal energy of a cubic meter of air, 4,000 times. So when you have water that's that much warmer, it's not long till that translates into the air temperatures. And the part of climate engineering, a massive aspect, this is important, to mask the severity of planetary meltdown while making it worse at the same time, but to mask it from populations until the moment of impact. And that's what these engineered snowstorms are about. Sensationalized headlines. Look how cold, cold, cold it is. Sure, it's in one tiny little piece of real estate. And they don't show the rest. It's in total meltdown. But it affects public perception as to the state of the world. So, and there's one more important factor I don't want to forget. Since 2012, the most engineered, cooled region in the world, the most statistically less warm region in the world, is the eastern half of the U.S. lower 48 in the entire world. We have the temperature departure from normal records to prove that. That's not nature.
That's very interesting. I mean, I was not have any awareness of that we are warming the fastest.
No, it's cool. the most anomalously less warm. So less why would warm. They do that? The majority of U.S. population lives in the eastern half. When you keep it constantly cool down, especially with these sensationalized winter snowstorms, those people can't imagine the planet's actually warming because they go outside and it feels so cold. They don't know. They don't think about the fact that last year it was 121.5 degrees in Canadian British Columbia. 121.5.
I didn't hear that.
It killed 40 million marine organisms. It wiped everything out. 120. It's inconceivable. It was actually 57 degrees above normal. 57 degrees. That would be like where I live in Redding at that time of year in Northern California. That would be like it being 160 degrees here. That's putting it into context for that to be 121 there. It's unthinkable.
This is so interesting. It turns things on their head for me, some things, but it's not the first
too.
Not the first time in the last 3 years we've been turned on our heads.
Well, I want to point out that a warming of that, this is important too, warming of that magnitude is also not nature, or it's also not a real indication of the actual warming, because that kind of warming can only come from climate engineering as well. That's from a high pressure heat dome, and that happens from an installation like HARP that heats the ionosphere with a 3.5 million watt transmission into the ionosphere, causes an electrical chain reaction, pushes down on the atmosphere because of that heat buildup. So that kind of temperature also is a result of climate engineering. It would not otherwise have gotten that hot.
Can you tell us about HARP?
That's what I was going to ask.
HARP is a weapon of mass destruction. It is not the benign research installation that they pretend it is. Ionosphere heaters, again, causing an electrical chain reaction in the ionosphere, can heat it to extraordinarily hot temperatures. That pushes the atmosphere up and down. Stated military purpose is to create resistance for an incoming intercontinental ballistic missile, but the ionosphere heaters are a core part of climate engineering. There's about 100 around the globe, by the way. HARP's only one of them. It's the biggest, but it's only one. So let's take an example. HARP can create a high-pressure heat dome, just like what caused that temperature in British Columbia. So that high-pressure heat dome, the upper-level winds spin clockwise around that, just like a pulley. So they block the winds from the west, from California. They spin that moisture, because that follows the winds, around this clockwise rotating high-pressure heat dome. And they're chemically nucleating that moisture the whole way, so that when that spins around that, what amounts to a pulley, and back down into the eastern half of the U.S., that air is already cool. It's like a giant continental swamp cooler with chemical ice nucleating elements. So the west fries while the east is cooled. And your listeners can look this up. If they search geoengineeringwatch.org, frying the west to cool the east. We have about a half a dozen reports on that. You can see the actual satellite water vapor imagery as to how this works. And I mean, we have satellite images that are shocking, perfectly circular blocking of all moisture from California. That's indicative of the high pressure heat dome. We have shocking data on this phenomenon.
Wow.
I am speechless. Well, we thought we had enough. We thought we had enough to deal with the pathogens and the level four labs and the pandemics.
It's certainly all connected. It's all connected and intertwined, but what's happening in our skies, we cannot escape from, and it holds literally everything in the balance. If we don't stop it, all other causes and concerns will soon be moot.
Yeah.
How do we stop this?
We would argue the only way forward is to reach a critical mass of awareness. And we do that by sharing credible data from a credible source, only by pushing this to the full light of day, so that populations around the world begin to look up and realize that they've been subjected to an experiment from which there is no return, an experiment without their knowledge or consent. So they realize they're fighting for their lives. And if we could reach a critical mass of awareness, we would hope that military personnel, defense contractors like Raytheon and Lockheed Martin are all involved in this, that they and their families realize they are participating in their own near-term self-extermination, and that they step down. And again, we are going to hit the wall. At this point, we have damaged the planet so horrifically. We're through the guardrail, climate engineering making it worse by the day. And there's no shutting that off. When you're flying through the air, you can't decide to put a new set of brakes on. It's too late. But if we can stop these programs and allow the planet to respond on its own, we could buy time. And that's worth fighting for. So again, we have to force this to the light of day. We have to have an army of the awakened that prioritizes properly, that focuses on the biggest hole in the bottom of the boat first, to keep the boat afloat. If we can keep the boat afloat, then we can start working on the other problems.
Wow. It's a steep learning curve, but we need to do this for our survival.
Quite literally. That's why we're focused on this issue at Geoengineering Watch. And again, not to, you know, downplay again the controller's attempt to debilitate and cull populations, which certainly is what's occurring with CV-19. So these issues are all intertwined and inseparable. And again, we have scientists that are connected with both. When we have, as I mentioned earlier, Ken Caldera, former Department of Defense scientist working directly for Bill Gates, all these people working on separate parts of the puzzle, but they all fit together.
One of the puzzles to me is, again, what your assessment is that the global warming is the major threat right now, and and that it's worse than the global warming people want to admit.
And let me clarify all of this. It's very important. What we face right now statistically, mathematically, is far worse than, quote, global warming. It's an abrupt climate collapse. Climate intervention operations have done everything to help this to happen. And we at GeoengineeringWatch.org have no love for Al Gore or the environmental communities. They're behaving with unimaginable hypocrisy. The whole COP27 climate conferences, for example, that is nothing but smoke and mirrors. And behind closed doors, it is simply a way of advancing climate engineering, forcing other countries to go along with climate engineering. And that's what those conferences are about. And every single environmental group, our attorneys at Geoengineering Watch have spoken to their attorneys. They will not address climate engineering because they don't want to lose their nonprofit status. So think of that hypocrisy, ignoring the single most environmentally destructive factor of all because they don't want to lose their nonprofit.
Sounds typical of we human beings, unfortunately.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, this has been enlightening. I want to learn more. Maybe we've only got a minute and a half. Your website is the main source of information right now? That's the best place?
Biggest source in the world. I won't call it the best. I'll let you do that if you think it is. But we are the biggest, almost 43 million visitors.
Yeah.
The Dimming documentary is over 1 million, and there's hundreds of other uploads of that. That's just ours. So, yeah.
I'll include the link in the write-up with the with the show.
And you're fairly certain that the global predators we're trying to identify, including the central banks. Oh, my God, we could try to do that one on a separate show. But they have a great awareness of what's happening.
No question. The same people that are responsible for CV-19 are the same ones running the climate engineering. There's no question. You're 100% right.
Well, we have a lot of boning up to do.
And a sobering interview.
We're usually kind of cute. I don't think we've been cute at all today.
That we were in the beginning, but now we're very sober.
We're very sober. Thank you so much, Dane Wigington.
Thank you, guys. And this is a bitter pill to swallow, I realize, but I would argue, again, as I do many times, if you're standing in the middle of the freeway at rush hour, you're better off facing traffic. And that's where we are. Don't turn our back to it. Let's face it.
That's so true. Thank you so much,
Dane. Thank you very much. We will be talking more to you privately and also publicly. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Ginger.